When you look back on the Gladeswell Bridge now, how do you see it?
I see it as part of a triangle of bridges, which the Harbour Bridge and Gladesville and Anzac Bridge, as representing that this issue of having to cross the harbour or inlets to the harbour. And I see the three bridges as representing the state of the art at the time that they were built. The Harbour Bridge was opened in 1932 and Gladesville in 64, so to complete the 32-year cycle, 96 should have been when the Anzac Bridge was opened, but in fact it was December 95.
Well, we should expect another bridge in less than 32 years, do you think?
That'll be 2028. I hope I'm around to see it.
When there's a wind, it's really quite strong on the top of the bridge. When I was quite young, I had a little motor scooter and I was actually blown off my motor scooter. I do remember that. And another incident with the wind was my husband was delivering a lounge from our house over to a family member at Five Dock, and he didn't actually strap it into the trailer. And he was driving over the apex of the bridge, and the fellow who was helping him with this delivery said, Dale, I think you'd better stop and look behind you. And there was the lounge right side up, sitting on the top of the bridge.
There have been some bad accidents on it. Probably a lot of them have been caused by the visibility problems caused by the sharp rise in the bridge, and people come soaring up one side and they don't see what's ahead on the other side of the top of the curve. That's probably a design problem which they must have thought about at the time, but probably couldn't really find a solution for, given the premise that they'd obviously undertaken to span the river in one arch, and therefore it had to rise that high.
The arch, of course, is a significant feature of the bridge, in my view, and also the fact that the roadway rises at a relatively steep grade for a road, and so the road, in some measure, parallels the line of the arch, and I believe that is part of its success.
It's unquestionably a future heritage item. It's in the same category as the Harbour Bridge. Very important engineering landmark, and also performing a function in the development of Sydney and telling a story about the way Sydney evolved in the 60s and 70s, and maybe about the mistakes that were made in the planning and things like this. You know, it's part of that.
You think they'll ever build another bridge that looks like Gladesville Bridge again in Australia?
Would be very difficult to find a site that required a bridge which would be satisfied by an arch.
This may be the last arch bridge, you think?
It could be the last arch bridge in Australia, yes.
That makes it very special, don't you?
It does.
I think everyone that worked on the bridge just didn't treat it as a job. They put their heart and soul into it, and there were some really good tradesmen there and, you know, workers that made a good finished product. They wanted to see it because they knew they were building something special.
I was extremely pleased that I was able to work on it. As far as I'm concerned, it was probably the most interesting project of my career, the most interesting structure to be involved with.
It was a real milestone in my life. It was quite revolutionary for me. Actually, my daughter's the one she's got the backwash of it. She was driving over it with some friends one time and they were remarking what a fantastic bridge it was. And she said, "My dad worked on this." They were very impressed. One of the blokes, I think he's an electrical engineer, just, "Your dad's a legend."
It stands out, and even today you drive over it, you think, I did this, I played a part in the thing.
And what was the downside for you for working on the bridge?
I couldn't think of any. I enjoyed every day of it.
Yeah, I feel, I have mixed feelings because it's a part of your life. The people you've mixed with there, you wonder where they are, and I see it as a beautiful thing, because I've had probably opportunities that people very rarely have. I've had opportunity to travel the whole world and look at other structures and things that have happened in other countries. And in fact, I was driving across America once and I come to this jolly bridge and I said, "This looks something like the old Gladesville Bridge, way over there in America." And I pulled up and took photos of it and had a look at it, and I think now, you know, it sort of brought back memories of the way that the bridge was constructed, the technology of the times. Yeah, no, it's a special bridge. And it was then, and it still is, and it will be in the future.
Oh, I still think it's beautiful. During the construction, I took a lot of still photographs myself. My favourite place to take a photograph was from the wharf at the bottom of Ferry Street to Hunter's Hill. Yeah, sometimes when I'm in Hunter's Hill, I slip down there for a nostalgic look.
How do you feel about the fact that there'll never be another Gladesville Bridge or a bridge like it built anywhere in Australia?
It's probably a good thing, because it'd lose its impact if you had 100 of them.
And now, as traffic flows smoothly and rapidly over the bridge, as if in newly found freedom, we come to the end of the story of the construction of the bridge with the longest concrete arch span in the world. It is also the story of the beginning of Sydney's Northwestern Expressway, which will stretch ultimately from the city to Wirunga and join up with the expressway now being built north of the Hawkesbury River towards Newcastle.
This oral history project was produced by Cinetel Productions. Frank Hymans and Martha and Sarah conducted research and interviews. The opinions in the oral history interview tapes are those of the individuals concerned and do not necessarily represent in whole or in part the position of the New South Wales Roads and Traffic Authority.